doing, church? You good? You well? You ready? You look awesome, just so you know. You look great. I'm so excited to be here this morning. If any of you don't know me, my name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at Salt Lake Church, along with my much better looking half, Jessica. But she's gone, so you have to deal with me. She's not here today, but she's with us in spirit, and we're so excited. You know, for youth this year, just a free plug, because I can get up here, you know, like, what are they going to do, turn the mic off? So, free plug for youth. Hey, if you're here and you're in grade 6 to grade 12, or you have a kid or a grandkid, come to youth. Like, come on, we have so much fun. We meet Fridays at 7 o'clock. We have a blast, so come on out, bring your kid. This last Friday, I got an injury at youth. I hurt my shoulder destroying all the kids a gaga ball, but it was worth it. So it was awesome. I try way too hard. Are you excited this morning, church? Yeah. I know I'm excited. We're talking about the truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. And one thing I think is really true, one thing that I think Pastor Doug touched on in a way last week when he was talking about promises, is that, you know, the truth sets us free, but it's the hard truths that really break chains. The hard truths. Pastor Doug talked about living on the promises of God. Living on those promises, the good ones, the great ones, the name it and claim it ones, but also the ones that are hard, like, hey, Jesus promised us suffering and promised us persecution. When we live on those promises, the truth sets us free. And this morning, we're going to talk about some hard truths as well, and I'm very, very excited. Church, if I can be real with you for a few minutes up here, I had a week. I had one of those weeks, you know. I mean, work was just busy and terrible. There was all this stuff going on, you know, in my, like, my family life. Lots of stuff happened, heavy stuff. We're dealing with that. You know, then, you know, the Dodgers lost last night, which just, like, brought me to, you know, ugh, it's terrible. I don't want to talk about it. Pray for me. But, you know, it really, I mean, that's a joke. I mean, it's just baseball. But really, I had a really hard week. And I walked in this morning to church. I just felt so good to be home. You know, church, listen, there are people out there that think, okay, I got all these great preachers on YouTube, and I got all this worship music on my phone. I don't need church. And can I tell you, the truth is, they are wrong. They are deceived. I'm sorry, it's the truth. The truth is, we need church. What did Jesus do on this earth? He took 11 men, and he built, or 12 men, sorry, he built into them. One of them doesn't count, we all know. He took into them, built into them. And what did he do? He taught them how to create the church. What we're in right now wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those men, for Peter, for James, for John. We wouldn't be here. He grabbed Paul. He took him on the road to Damascus. He changed the direction of his life. And he said, build my church. We are here today because Jesus created this church. And people that think they don't need it, they are believing a lie. We need church. And as I walked in this morning after a really bad week, I thought, man, I'm so happy to be in the presence of the Lord and the presence of you believers and to worship together. Come on, church. We are here because we are supposed to be here to hear this truth, a word that will set us free. So this morning, my message is, my title is the truth is, dot, dot, dot. The truth is, dot, dot, dot. And I want you to leave here. I have a bunch of what I believe are hard truths that we need to put into action in our lives. And if we put these truths into action, I believe that we will become all that we can believe be for Christ this morning. So let's start the way we should always start, with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak your word this morning. God, send your spirit here to help us receive this message that you put on my heart, and I pray we would all take it, and we will put these truths into action in our lives as we walk out these doors. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about some hard truths this morning. The first one we're going to talk about is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Paul writes, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul's writing about the end, the very end. A first truth that I think, you know, this morning that we need to realize is that we are all going to die. I know. Whoa. You might avoid taxes. You might if you try real hard. But you will not avoid death. We are all born with a countdown on, right? The moment you are born, you start dying. It's just the truth, right? I mean, it's not a very nice truth, but it is the truth. It's a hard truth. And the question is, what are we going to do with that time? What are we going to do with our time here on earth? How are we going to spend it? And the truth is that a lot of people spend it focused on the wrong things. See, this verse is specifically talking about when Jesus returns again, you know? And it's a topic that can be divisive. It's a topic that's been talked about over and over again. People read into signs and wonders. They look at the world. They see all these things. They get dates, you know? You know, I'm old enough. I lived through Y2K, right? You guys remember that? The world was ending. I lived through 2012, right? There was a movie about that one. You know, people talk about the end. You know, they look in the world, and some people are always searching for signs and wonders to see when's the end going to be. You know, they want to look at the stars and look at the signs and the numbers and think, oh, this is the day and the time. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't have the day or the time this morning, but I can tell you that every day we wake up, we are one day closer to the very end, right? Bible's very clear. God will create a new heaven and an earth. He's going to destroy this one. He's going to create something even more perfect. This world is fading. Nothing that we see or touch or feel with our hands is eternal. It's all going to fade. It's all going to perish. This very earth is going to be destroyed. The only eternal thing is our relationships. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and our relationships with each other. So church, I ask you, how do we respond to this news that the end is coming? Because it is, right? Every day, you're one day closer. I don't know which is going to come first, but I promise you, it's one of those two. You're going to die, or Jesus is going to return and take us home. I have talked to way too many people lately who come up to me and say, listen, the world is going to hell. You know, the world is going to hell. There's all this government stuff going on. There's all this economic stuff. Have you seen the price of gas and bread and everything else? The world's going to hell. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take my family and we're going to like drive out to the mountains and we're just going to live there till Jesus comes home. And if that is how you feel, listen, I get it. The world is going to hell. Like, if you read to the end of the book, that's where it's going. Spoiler alert. I just gave away the ending. Church, right? The world is headed in one direction. But we, as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of that. We know what's coming. We know what's happening. We know where the world is headed. And if we see this world and we're afraid of it, and we see everything that's going on and we're scared and we think, okay, we better be careful of the world. So we're really careful, you know, we only go out in the world when we have to for church or to buy groceries, you know. You gotta rush out of the minivan, into Walmart, back out and go, like, you know, there are Christians who act like that in this world. But we are not called to hide in a cabin and shy away from the world. We are called to what? Go into the world, church. We are called to be believers, the light to this world. And church, I really think there are way too many of us who, you know, and myself included, I'm like, oh man, the world, it's going to hell. I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to like chill at home. No. See, the state of the world is a call to action. The state of this world, when you go outside and you can see hurt and pain and the sadness and the suffering and the sin and all these people that are perpetuating that, when you read on the news all the terrible things that are happening, all the terrible things in the world, in our community, everywhere, all of those things are a call to action, church. The only question is, will we answer that call? Will we answer the call to action, to do something about the state of the world? We know where it's headed, but I truly believe it is our job to stand on the road to hell and say, don't go this way! Turn around! Go a different direction! There's another option, And his name is Jesus. Come on. Church, we are called to action. And that's a hard truth. Because if we're being real, this action that we're called to, it's evangelism. Which is a big fancy word that means to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. That he died for you and for me. And that we need to accept him as our Lord and Savior to not go to hell. That's what we believe, isn't it? Isn't that why we're here today? Because Jesus died for our sins and his blood washed us clean and now we have eternity with him and we're here to share it with other people? Church, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless." Do you know people who are harassed and helpless? When you think of people in your community, where you work, where you do life, you know, your neighbors cross the fence, do you know people who are harassed and helpless? You know, I look at people, I'm like, how do you make it through the day without Jesus? I mean, I need him for everything. Like, I'm terrible. Whenever I try to do something on my own, you know what happens? It never works. You'd think I'd learn. Church, I know people who are harassed and helpless. They're walking through this life with no hope, no faith, no love, no plan. Their past is defining them. They're stuck in bondage. They're stuck in chains. They're stuck in sin. I know people who are harassed and helpless, just like the people Jesus saw on this day. The Bible says, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And you know, when I first read this as a new believer, I thought that meant we were supposed to like pray for missionaries. We're supposed to pray for, you know, the evangelists, you know, the Franklin and Billy Grahams of the world and the people that get on stage and talk to thousands of people. That's who I thought we were supposed to pray for. But you know what I realize now? Who we're supposed to pray for? Ourselves. Because we are the laborers that are going to go into the field. We are the workers that are going out there, going into the world and have the opportunity to share with people the truth of the gospel message. This state of the world is a call to action. Will we answer that call, church? Or will we just sit by ourselves, you know, focused on us and our problems and, you know, not wanting to get it. I don't want to go into the world. I know sometimes I can get like that, but church, we are called to be the laborers of this harvest. Jesus said these words, and then right immediately after, what does he do? He sends the disciples and the 72 out. He sends them out into the world to spread that good news. My first tough truth is this. It's a tough truth. If you are offended by any of these truths, direct all your letters to God, because this is him. So you can bring it up with him if you get offended. My first truth is, the truth is, inaction is a sin. I know we would like to believe that evangelism is a choice. It's something other people might do. You know, all that, those people, they're great at evangelism. You know, I'll just pray for them. Spreading the good news is something each and every single one of us is called to. And if we are not answering the call, it is a sin. If we have the love of Jesus inside us, how can we not spread it, church? Now, I'm not saying you got to go door to door and knock on everyone's door and get so many houses a day. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, you know, Pastor Doug and Pastor Karen are like, got a check mark at home. And they're like, how many people did you invite to church recently? Like, you haven't done it in 6 months. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our lives and our words are supposed to be leading people to Christ each and every day. That doesn't mean that every day we're saying the sinner's prayer with someone. Some days we just plant a seed. We plant a seed in someone with what we say, with what we do, how we act when we face a stressful situation. Sometimes we water a seed when we, you know, say a little thing or we have hope in a hopeless situation. Every day we should be spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ and his good news. Every day. Inaction truly is a sin. You know, and what holds us back from speaking to people about Jesus? What holds us back from showing people his love? So often it's fear, right? I'm afraid, you know, someone's going to laugh at me. I'm afraid, you know, someone's going to, you know, throw a sandwich in my face. I'm afraid that people aren't going to hear what I have to say. But the Bible actually has a lot to say about fear. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Wow. You know, Jesus said this to the disciples, to the 72, right after he sent them out. Right as he's sending them out, his last words to them before they're going to go out into the cities and the communities where they live and they work and going to go out into the world, the last thing he says to them is, "So fear, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden. Have no fear." Church, this is a call to us to have no fear when it comes to spreading the gospel message. I know this is hard. I would love to tell you that, you know, my wife is so awesome, you know, at evangelism. She's really good at it. I can, you know, build her up because she's not here. But she's really good at, like, just going up and talking to random people and, like, you know, just, "Hey, what about this? What about that?" You know, there's so many people that, like, have a natural gift for that. And that's awesome. But, you know, if everyone was like me, you know, who doesn't, like, naturally be okay talking to strangers, then, you know, we wouldn't get anywhere. I have to get out of my shell, out of my comfort zone, over myself, and start spreading the gospel message, church. And I believe there's a lot of people like me, elder, that would rather just stay in the background. "I'll pray for you, you know. No, we need to go. You know, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he said, go into all the nations and go into, you know, Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all the world. You know what that go meant in Greek? Go. We have to go. You know, Jesus put this into action so well. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you preach on, you know, passages of scripture that are talked about a lot, it's like, it's daunting, you know, because you think, "Oh, what am I going to say that hasn't been said before?" You know, I like to preach about, like, you know, niche stories that maybe people haven't heard a lot about, because then I sound so great. But when you talk about a really famous passage of scripture, like, what can I add to this? But as I was building this message, I really felt called by God to talk about, you know, a time when Jesus put so much truth about how we should evangelize into practice. It's the woman at the well. It's a very famous story found in John chapter 4. And basically, what is happening here is that Jesus is traveling. He's traveling to a different place, and on the way, he's going to stop at a well, and he's going to have this amazing encounter with a Samaritan woman. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 5, 6, it says, "So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field of that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour." So Jesus is on this journey. He stops in this town. He stops in a well at the sixth hour, which in Jewish tradition is noon. So it's high noon, it's hot, they've been traveling. Did you know this journey Jesus is on is 70 miles? 70-mile journey. It takes 2.5 days, and they are at the middle point of this journey when they reach this town, when they reach this well. They've traveled about 35 miles. If I had to travel 35 miles, I'd die dead. But Jesus has been walking, he's been journeying, and they get to this well, and the Bible says that he was wearied from his journey. So he sits beside the well, and he sends the disciples into town. Church, I believe that one of our strong reasons for an action in our own mind is because of how tired we are. You know, I'm like, "Oh, man, you know, I'd love to talk to that person, but, you know, I've done all this stuff, and I had a big day at work, and I got a big week, you know, I got all this stuff going on. I'd love to go for coffee with you, but, I mean, I'm just so busy with this and that and the other thing in my life." Church, Jesus wasn't too tired after a 35-mile journey to speak with this woman. I think there's a truth here. There's a truth here. Whether we're weary, whether we're tired, whatever you got going on in your week, however busy your work is, your schedule, your kids dance and this and that and hockey and soccer, we should never be too tired to spread the gospel message. We should never be so tired we're in inaction about the state of the world. We should always be ready to spread the truth. The next truth I see about, you know, the hard truth that we need to learn is, the truth is, we need to listen and observe. We need to listen and observe. I truly believe in my heart, I've preached this before and I will preach it again, Christians should be the best listeners out there. So many people in this world are just dying to speak. You know, they're like me, right? Like, I just love the sound of my own voice. I'm like, man, everyone should get to hear me. I'm so clearly awesome. Right? I mean, I'm just being honest with you, church. I don't listen well. You know, for me, listening is just waiting my turn politely to speak. That's what listening is. I'm just like, when will you be quiet and be done? I'm very sorry. I know I'm messing with my mic. Lisa's going to kill me, but anyways. But we are called to listen, church. Be real, true listeners. Christians should be the greatest listeners. We don't need to speak. We don't need to prove that we're right. We don't need to prove our point. We have Jesus in our corner. We have confidence in him. You know, there's so many people out there just wanting to speak and wanting to be heard. You look online, they want to be, you know, people to think this about them and say this about them. Everyone's got an opinion. You know, we as Christians need to listen. In the book of James, James wrote, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Bible also says, and James also wrote, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." We need to be quick to listen and observe people, church. I started this thing because, you know, I know you don't believe this about me, but I'm rather loud. And I can really easily just talk over people until they finally, like, are quiet and then can listen to me. But what I started about a year ago was I really took the time to, like, I won't talk over people. In a conversation, whether it's at work and we're talking about something, or it's at home or with my family. You know, when Jessica first came over to my family's house for dinner, she couldn't believe it. She didn't say a word the whole time. She's so quiet. And like we just, whoever was loudest dominated the conversation. So I came by it naturally. It's not my fault. You know, it's true. But like Jess was so stunned. She was like, none of you listen to each other. You just talk over each other and you're all trying to prove that you're right. And it's so true. That's how I grew up. But I started this thing where I just stop and I listen. I don't talk over people. And you know what's amazing? How much more I hear. We as Christians were absolutely called. I'm sorry, my mic is driving me crazy. Absolutely called to listen. To listen to people. What's going on in their lives? You so often we say, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, I'm great. How are you?" "Good." We walk away. Actually, listen. Their tone, their body language, observe them. What's really going on with this person? What can we learn about them? If we actually stop to listen to the people at work, you know, everyone wants to be heard. But Christians, you know, if we want to be heard, we talk to our God. He'll listen. When it comes to people, we need to listen, church. Really listen to what's going on and observe them. I think Jesus does this in this story. It says in verse 7, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Jesus asked her a question. He already knew the answer. He didn't need to listen to her. He could have told her everything right at the start. But instead he asks a question, he starts a conversation, he listens to what she really says. He observes what this woman is really doing. "Did you know the sixth hour, high noon, was not time when the women went to gather water?" In that culture, it was customary for women to go and get the water at the start of the day. They would have usually gone in the first hour to get water. But this woman is going at high noon through the blistering heat to get water. Why? Well, it's very clear from the story that she's not well-liked in this town. You know, she's like walks around wearing the scarlet letter. She's not well, like she doesn't want to go because gathering water was, you know, like a social experience for these women. You know, they get together and, you know, they'd sit and they talk about, you know, whatever it is women talk about, I don't know. It was a social experience. But this woman doesn't want that social experience. She avoids it. So rather than go when it's cool and when it's easy to get water, she goes when it's the hottest part of the day to avoid the other women. What does that say about her? Jesus reads that. He observes that. He listens to her. See, Jesus listened. He was the busiest guy that ever lived. And he took the time to truly listen to people where they were at. What does that say about what we should do? My next truth is, which is in contradiction to what I just said, but the truth is, we need to speak. We need to listen and observe, absolutely, but we need to speak. We don't need to speak to be right. We don't need to speak to be heard. We need to speak the truth. The truth about who Jesus is and who what he's done. Yes, our lives should speak the love of Jesus, absolutely. But, you know, we should also speak his name with our voice. And we should speak about him and what he's doing in our lives. It should be about him. You know, we shouldn't be in a conversation trying to one-up someone, but we should be speaking about the truth of Jesus. Jesus begins to talk about himself. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Our next truth is that as Jesus talks about himself, how does the woman respond? I really see this as sarcastic. She's like, "What are you going to draw water with, huh? You didn't bring a bucket with you." See, we can get really easily offended talking about Jesus. And the truth is, we need not be offended. We don't need to get offended. You know, this woman, Jesus was talking, she was talking to Jesus, and she's like sarcastic with him. That's scary, you know? Truly, but Jesus doesn't get offended. How often do we get offended? I get offended all the time. My feelings are so easily hurt, especially when talking about Jesus. And someone doesn't respond how I want them to respond, or they reject me. They're like, "No, I don't want to talk about that." You know, it's so easy to get offended and hurt. We don't need to be offended and hurt. We have Jesus in our hearts. Come on, church. Jesus doesn't get offended. Instead, he continues. He says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." He says to her, "Listen, I got this water. You'll never be thirsty again." She says, "I want the water." Now, she still thinks he's talking about water here on earth, like a well in her home or like, I don't know, a faucet. But we know what Jesus is really talking about. And Jesus takes it home. And I think this can be the hardest part about talking to people about God, talking to people about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. You know, yes, we have to listen. Yes, we have to speak about Jesus. But there does come a point when this is a hard truth, when the truth is we need to talk about sin. We don't like to talk about sin, do we? It's not something we want to bring up. It's something that there like are many people out there that won't even talk about. I remember in my very short time in Bible college, I am a Bible college dropout, this guy came to our school and he started talking about, you know, like, "Hey, you know, we need to be, you know, we need to, you know, get our bad habits away." And I raised my hand because I was in Bible college. And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by bad habits?" And he said, "Oh, you know, the things that we do that aren't really for God." I said, "Do you mean sin?" He said, "I don't like that word." Of course you don't like that word, but we got to talk about it. That's why we're here. We're here because our sins put Jesus on the cross, right? That's why we're here, and he died for us willingly. Listen, Jesus talked a lot about sin. Look, read your Bible. He talked about it again and again and again because it distances us from God. And the truth is, when we're talking about Jesus, when we're talking about the gospel, we have to talk about the reason he died. Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." We have to talk about sin when we're talking to people. Now, I'm not saying you have to call someone out like this Jesus did to this woman. He perceived this in the Holy Spirit. I often find it easiest to talk about my own sin. You know, and I'm talking to someone, I'm like, "Hey, this is my struggle. This is how Jesus healed me. This is where I'm at now." But we have to talk about sin. Why do I say that? Well, there was this man. His name was John the Baptist. He was kind of a big deal. And when he started his ministry, this is what he said. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He said, 'Repent, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How did John begin his ministry? Talking about sin. Well, you say, okay, that's John the Baptist. You know, like, yeah, he was a big deal, but I'm not sure I really want to talk about sin. Well, there's this guy. His name was Jesus. He was born in a manger. And when he started his public ministry, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If John the Baptist and Jesus himself started talking about sin, what do we think we need to talk about? Maybe we should take a play out of their playbook. Church, we got to be gentle with this. We got to be careful. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about talking to someone about like, hey, this is a massive list of your sins and all the things you've done wrong, and you know you need to repent and change. That's not what I'm talking about. But we start the conversation, they need to understand the reason they need a Savior is because of their sin. That's why I talk about my own sin, because, you know, it's easy to talk about. There's a lot. I could pick from, like, a whole list. But I could talk about Jesus' power in my life, how he changed me from that man that was headed on that road to hell to now someone who's saying, don't go this way! Come on! We got to talk about sin so people know why they need a Savior. The truth is, we must not be distracted. This woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. So what this woman does, she can see Jesus has talked about sin. He's talked about himself. He's kind of drawn her in this conversation. And she tries to get out of it by talking about the biggest theological issue of that day. I cannot describe to you how big the issue of which mountain they were supposed to worship on was. This was a gigantic issue. This was bigger than us talking about Trudeau. This was bigger than, you know, anything that we have today. This was a huge issue. Which mountain do we worship on? And so what she does is she takes the conversation and she turns it political. She turns it into this societal conversation. It was a conversation about her and her sin and her life, and she takes it and she changes it. People, when you get serious with them, they will try to derail the conversation. I've seen it again and again. Well, what about this? Well, you know, what about this in the Old Testament? Or what about that? We don't need to have these big, massive theological conversations. Those can come later. But the truth is, our focus is Christ. Jesus takes the conversation, he turns it back. He says, woman, believe me. I love it when Jesus says woman, because I feel like it justifies me when I say it. Jessica's not here, right? I told you. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Amen. Church, I believe this is so critical in our lives. We need to talk more about Jesus. You can say, oh yeah, you know, God did this great thing in my life, and that's cool, and God can mean a million things to a million people. And you can say, oh yeah, I'm going to church this Sunday. And that's great, and it's awesome. But church means a million things to different people. But you know what no one confuses is the name Jesus Christ. We sang that, right? It's the name. It is the name. The name by which everything was created. Everything is sustained. Everything exists through his name. It's the name. Our focus needs to be Jesus. And I catch myself doing this all the time. You know, oh, God's so good. And, you know, I got to be more careful. Talk about Jesus. Just bring up his name. See how people react. It's crazy. Everyone on this earth reacts to the name Jesus. Every single person. We need to be Jesus Christ into our conversations. His name, and make it about him. Our truth needs to be to focus on Jesus. And when we focus our conversations on Jesus, like Jesus did, focusing on himself, we can talk to people about the real, the true, the worshiping him in spirit and truth, about giving our lives to him. It all starts with a focus on Jesus Christ. Church, I truly believe that the state of the world is a call to action for us today. We are walking out those doors in the mission field. That's not some, your country's over, but those are great. Missions is awesome. But the fact is that once you leave this place today, you are in the mission field, in the Tim Hortons lineup, waiting at Costco in a ridiculously long line. Whatever you're doing at work tomorrow, at your place of school, whatever you're doing, you are in the mission field. Will we just be inactive? Will we just keep the status quo? Will we stick to ourselves? Will we not be brave? Or will we be bold? Because Jesus said, don't fear. Will we listen? Because that's what we're called to do. Will we speak his name and focus on him and not get distracted and focus on the truth that sets us free but also people free? Will we do that as we walk out these doors today? And imagine if we do. Imagine if we all step up our game. And maybe you're here today and speaking to people is really easy for you and you've done that your whole life. That's great. That's awesome. I encourage you, step up your game. There's room to grow. There's room to improve. Maybe you're here today and you've never talked to anyone about Jesus before. Never mention his name. That's okay. There's no condemnation. I'm not here to judge you or count the number of people you've brought to church, but I'm telling you, this week, make it your week. Talk to someone about Jesus. Bring up his name in a conversation. I'm not saying that we have to always succeed. We continue, you know, because we're planting seeds. We're watering those seeds. Someone else might, harvest the harvest that you started many years ago. I've seen that happen often in my life. You know, I had that happen in my own life where people built into me and slowly but surely I started to grow until I was ready for harvest. Church, I'm telling you, go out this week, spread the word. Jesus Christ died for our sins and he is risen again and we will rise with him in the end. Amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." That's who we serve. Can we spread that news? Can we spread that news this week, church? Come on. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you to be bold. I'm going to pray for you to apply these truths into your life as you leave here today. Going to pray. Maybe God is a person for you, a person you're supposed to talk to. Maybe you're here today and you've been praying for someone and talking to someone for I don't know how long, 20, 30, 40 years. I'm going to pray for you for endurance. Most of all, I'm going to pray for you. If you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know this man who died for our sins and has the truth that will set us free, today is your day. Now is your time. Do not delay. Jesus is here, he is real, and he wants a relationship with you. If you don't know Jesus, it is so simple to know him. I'm going to say a very simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Then afterwards, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. With every head will be bowed, every eye will be closed, the point of raising your hand is an outward sign of an inward change. And in doing that, you show that you want to make a change in your heart, you want to invite Jesus into your life. If you do that today, I'm telling you, you will never be the same again. Choosing Jesus is the greatest decision I ever made. And that's why I can say that to you today. If you don't know him, now's your time. Don't delay. Don't wait. Come join the team. It's a perfect place to be with him. So let's bow our heads today in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are here and you are with us. That you sent your Holy Spirit into this place to guide us. God, there are so many unreached, unchurched, hurting people out there. They're harassed and they're helpless and they don't know you and they're going through life without this amazing connection to who you are. There's so much hurt and so much pain, so much sin in this world. God, I pray that we wouldn't see it and turn a blind eye, but we would see it and we would rise up, rise in action to go and reach people for you, Jesus. I pray that we take these truths today and apply them in our lives. We'd have no fear. We'd be brave. We wouldn't let ourselves be tired or in action, God, but we would step up for you. I pray that we would be bold with no fear. We would talk to people about Jesus. Jesus, who you are, how you lived, how you died, and where you are now. I pray you would embolden the people of City Light Church to speak your truth out in the world, that we would truly spread the good news that Jesus died for us and for everyone, for this whole world to be redeemed. I thank you, God, that you died for all of us, each and every one of us, our past sins, our future sins. We are washed clean by your blood. I thank you, Jesus. And I pray that we would just be encouraged by your Spirit to go spread that news. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, like I said, it's really simple. I'm going to pray this simple prayer. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me. I ask you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior from this day forward to the day you call me home. In your name, Jesus, amen.